into the trench and stretched, sitting, and then walked away, hunched over. Pig scrunched down on his back and kneaded his right hand with his left.
"That mortar some sucks. Where'd they get a mortar?"
"They didn't have it before." He shook his head.
"KIA, was he in your unit?"
"Well, I knew him."
"Sorry about that."
The standard flat response.
"We'll go police up his body tomorrow, next day. They ever send us some fucking air cover, those assholes gonna DD."
Of course, there wouldn't be a body.
Or maybe there would.
As the smell of gun smoke faded, it was replaced by the familiar smell of rotten flesh. There were two dead GIs, wrapped in ponchos, beyond the trench. They wouldn't account for all the smell. Then I realized I'd smelled it on the way in, too panicked for it to register. Pig saw my nose wrinkle.
"Lot of dead gooks, been out there a couple days."
"And you can't get any air support, artillery?"
"No fast movers, no artillery. One gunship didn't chase them away. Some four deuce, but they damn near got us."
4.2-inch mortars, not as accurate as artillery.
"Lieutenant says Charlie's giving them hell at the airstrips in Kantum and Pleiku. We're pretty low on the totem pole here."
I looked out over the clearing.
"How many, you figure?" "You might want to keep your head down."
I ducked.
"Those two were zapped by a sniper."
He lit up a bent Winston.
"How many? We're still here, so not too many. Figure a couple dozen, max. Low on ammo, or they're saving it for another rush."
"Another?"
"Yeah, they come at us night before last. That's the smell. We must have got a hell of a kill ratio."
"I thought they recovered their dead."
"You don't see us running out after your buddy."
An older guy, I supposed Pop, crept up with a shovel.
"You guys want to have a hole before it gets dark."
I gestured at the dead men.
"Those KIAs didn't have holes we could use?"
"Taken."
He looked at Pig.
"Now they've got that mortar, they might want to come after us tonight. Lieutenant thinks we might get a couple rounds at twilight so they can bracket us. Then a salvo just before they hit the perimeter, like after midnight."
"That's what the lieutenant thinks."
"Yeah. Anyhow, it'll be two on, two off all night.
2 hours watch, 2 hours sleep."
"You new guys, too. One between here and the KIAs, two over there."
He waved on the other side of the M-60 position.
"Like 10 meters apart."
"We don't have 6 people.
"Work it out. Light discipline, sundown to sunup."
"No smokes." He tossed the shovel over.
"Better dig."
I took it down the trench and picked up my rucksack. 2 guys were sitting there, cleaning their M-16s.
"Thought you were humping in a case of beer."
I jerked my head to the left.
"Guy who got mortared."
"Fucking shit."
"Hope Charlie enjoys it," the other guy said.
"Hope it's full of fucking holes."
I walked over to where the other new guys were sitting together. This could still be wild year. I looked at the M-16 and tried to will it into being a plumber's friend. Nothing. It could be that twilight zone the machine had demonstrated in Cincinnati, a file copy of 1968. I definitely was an observer, or I wouldn't be able to think like this. But no black box. Was I going to stay here until the machine let me go? Best just to ride it out, see what happens. As if I had a choice. I showed the four of them where we'd be standing guard. Might as well dig our hole over there so we don't get too lost in the dark. Max had the axe.
"Max, you and Mouth go get some overhead. 2 big ones, about 2 axe handles long. The rest, 3.
"No sweat. Somebody's got a chainsaw."
The logs on the nearest bunker were cut off evenly.
"Rest of us come dig a hole deep enough for 5 people. Might need it tonight."
I relayed what Pop had said.
"This sucks shit," Zone said. "They didn't get that mortar parcel post. Wonder what other surprises they got."
"Maybe nukes," I said. "That'd be different."
They all thought I was making a bad joke. I scrounged a pick medic and we started hacking out a grave-sized pit, lots of roots and rocks. I heard a chainsaw roar and sputter out, roar and sputter out. Then it came to life and started chewing trees. An AK opened up behind us, two short bursts, and as we hit the dirt, a second M60 answered it. Nice to know our back was covered. Not nice to know we were encircled, which was probably the reason for the probe, to make us nervous. I ran a cleaning rod through the barrel of my M16, knocked out the dried mud, then ran two greased patches through, till the second came out clean. Eventually, we dug a hole more than waist-deep and filled sandbags with the dirt. Max and Mouth dragged two logs in, fat ones for the end pieces, and the rest of us followed them back to pick up the rest of the overhead. The forest wasn't too exotic here. Except for the all-enveloping heat and humidity, it could have been a forest in Michigan, if a forest in Michigan were full of people intent on killing you. I felt that more acutely than ever before. Usually it was just empathy for the illusory others. This time, maybe I could die here as well. The rules were different, and I didn't know how different. We started filling sandbags with the dirt and rocks. The newly turned earth added a musty, funereal smell to the omnipresent rot. Was this how the machine was going to kill me?
How long you know the guy? Mouth asked.
False background kicked in. Couple of months. We met at Fort Lewis and came in country on the plane together, wound up at Camp Inari. Went out to Brillo Pad a couple of weeks ago. Brillo Pad was a hilltop fire base about 10 minutes from here by Slick. He nodded.
Never thought I'd miss fucking Brillo Pad.
Slick bring you in?
Our helicopter had picked us up at Brillo Pad.
Hell no. We humped. Run into these fuckers.
He jammed his shovel into the ground and lit a cigarette.
We just fucking bait, you know. They troll us around till Charlie bites. Then they rain shit on his ass.
Unless they don't, I said. He nodded, smoking, staring at the edge of the berm.
Low on water, low on ammo.
Plenty of ammunition now.
For the 60s, anyhow, not the 16s. They take out Pig and Piglet, and we're fucking fucked.
The enemy must have known by now where the two M60s were dug in, and would probably try to take them out with the mortar before the next attack.
Maybe they don't have many rounds for it, I said. So far, has it just been the three when we came in?
Uh-huh, far as I know.
Well, hell, if they had plenty of rounds, wouldn't they have taken the 60s out by now?
I don't know. How you figure out a slope?
Measure sides and take the arc secant, I thought, but said, maybe those three rounds were all they had left.
You shouldn't say incantatory things like that. A faint poink sound drifted across the clearing.
Incoming!
Mouth yelled. I jumped into the hole and found four faster people under me. The round exploded between us and Pig's bunker, about 10 yards short of the berm in the elephant grass. Some dirt pattered down on us.
Get that fucking overhead on, Max murmured from the bottom of the pile.
It took us about 90 seconds to lay the two big logs into position and build a roof with the long, narrow ones and pile a layer of sandbags on top of that. Meanwhile, two guys filled sandbags as fast as they could. They said that one layer wasn't enough. Two might stop a mortar, but three was better. We didn't quite have enough bags for three. I went back to my rucksack and filled 6 magazines for the M16. My mouth was dry, and my hands shook so much I kept dropping rounds. Whoever brought that mortar probably brought more men. They'd have to hit tonight, while the air support and artillery were still distracted. The lieutenant came by and recommended we put another layer on top. He didn't know where we could find more bags, though, so we wound up just shoveling dirt on top of the 2.5 layers we had. No rocks. If we were hit, they'd become secondary projectiles. After all the exertion, we just sat around smoking. Max blew up his air mattress and fell asleep, using his helmet as a pillow. I tried to emulate him, though I kept my helmet on and rested my head on the rucksack. Some guys slept with their helmets over their genitals, a matter of priorities. The ground was lumpy with sharp rocks, but I did manage to sleep. That in itself was odd. You don't normally sleep in the machine. It was dark when someone shook me awake. I could just make out Max's outline in the dim moonlight. He gave me a radio handset.
You don't want to say anything, he whispered. Press the squelch button once if you think you hear something. Twice if you see someone. Here's some C's. He put my other hand on a cardboard box. If you see something, chuck a grenade at it. Don't give away your position by shooting. Every sixth round was a red tracer. I gathered up rifle, magazines, canteen, and C's, shouldered the rucksack, oriented myself, and paced off the 25 steps to the edge of the berm. There wasn't much to see in the watery light from the low crescent moon. You could tell where the elephant grass was, and that was about it. They could probably see me, though, if they had 7x50s. I dropped to the ground. I quietly opened the sea ration box and felt through it. The squat little main dish can meant I'd been screwed. The bastards were unloading instant scrambled eggs on me. They were almost inedible, even heated up. I didn't want to find out what they tasted like cold. I emptied all the coffee, cocoa, and sugar packages into my canteen cup and added a little water, stirred it into mush with a plastic spoon. Tasted raw, but woke me up. There were 3 hand grenades in the bottom of the rucksack. I fished them out, making as little noise as possible, and set them in front of me. Hand set next to them, then the M16 and a stack of 5 magazines. 90 rounds plus the 18 already loaded. It didn't seem like much. I clicked the selector twice over to auto and locked and loaded, then stretched out prone, peering at nothing. I tried to do the observer trick and speed up time, but no. The moon stayed where it was. I was here, more or less, for real. Before it had disappeared in Cincinnati, the machine had said it would meet me in Wild Year. Of course, as soon as I came in, it knew what I suspected. So maybe it would have to kill me, and this was its roundabout way of doing it. Suddenly, I was not at all philosophical about death. But it would also know the instructions I had given to Bruce. If I died, it died. Unless it had second-guessed us. If it was in control of the whole ship, it could presumably neutralize the disabling procedure. But then, if it was in total control, what danger did my suspicions present? A sound below me. A shoe slipping on grass? I pressed the squelch button once. Then, in the corner of my eye, I saw dark shapes moving against the elephant grass. I pressed it twice, then worked the cutter pin out of a grenade and tossed it over the berm. The arming lever made a loud noise in the darkness, and I heard a couple of urgent, whispered syllables. Then the flat bang of the grenade, and a flash of smoky yellow light. Another grenade went off to my left, then a protracted hiss, and the landscape was suddenly lit up, a magnesium flare bobbing under its toy parachute. There must have been 100 of them, boiling out of the elephant grass toward the berm, the ones who had been crawling up the berm now staggering upright into a run. Pig's machine guns swept over the crowd, red tracers like a pulsating ray gun. I snatched the M16 and hosed without aiming. The 2 nearest fell over backwards. I broke a thumbnail ejecting the magazine and crammed a new one in and released the bolt. Whether this was real or not, I had to calm down and aim. 2 of them were shooting in my direction. I squeezed off careful bursts of 3 and hit them both. 1 just fell to his knees, so I aimed to give him another burst. Then someone grabbed me from behind, choking me in a hammer lock. I dropped the rifle and clutched at his forearm, kicked back and missed, kicked again and missed. A red glow grew bright, stars sparkling, and then it went black. I woke up lying on my stomach, hands tied behind my back, a gag tight around my mouth. It smelled and tasted of gasoline and sweat. There were occasional single pops of rifle fire. I strained to look over my shoulder. Enemy soldiers with flashlights were searching for the wounded and eliminating them. 2 men hauled me to my feet and dragged me down the berm into the high grass. They crashed through it confidently with flashlights for about 100 yards and stopped. One of them knelt down and pulled a muddy, woven mat aside, revealing a small wooden door. He swung it open and climbed down inside. The one behind me sawed at my bonds with a knife.
When they fell away, he cocked a heavy automatic pistol. "Do not run," he said, and poked